Good morning. This morning's reading comes from John 14, verses 1 through 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Hi, everyone. My name's Scott. I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church, Parra Hills. I'm really glad to be with you this morning. I wonder, do you know someone who just knows lots of stuff? When I moved out of home, I met a guy. Harvey was his name. We used to call him H-Bomb. And Harvey knew a lot of things. A lot of what he knew wasn't terribly important, but he knew a lot of things, and really it helped him win pub trivia every Thursday night. But if you ask my kids, hey kids, who knows lots of stuff, what do you reckon they'd say? Mum? Yeah? That's a vote for Pitt. Yeah, actually, they might tell you Siri knows lots of stuff, the person on your iPhone. They love when I stand with them and they'll tell me a question to ask Siri and I'll ask Siri the question. In fact, they love when you ask Siri to tell you a joke. So I thought, should we try that right now? Let's find a joke from Siri. Hey, Siri, can you tell us a joke?
The waiter said, will you give me a tip? The customer said, be sure to stay hydrated.
So, Siri's really good at telling bad jokes. Yes. But in fact, she can tell you lots about everything. She can even tell you where to bury a body. In 2014, this man here, Pedro Bravo, was convicted of killing his friend and roommate. And part of the evidence against him was that they went through his phone history and they found that he'd asked Siri, where do I hide a body? Best not to ask Siri that one or keep it on record, right? I wonder though, would you trust everything that Siri says? Is she telling you the truth all the time? Or is it just something that she found on a random web page and she just throws up for you and you, well, who knows if it's really true? It's on the internet. Or, you know, when you use Google Maps to direct you where you want to go, do you always trust Google Maps? Or do you add your own little bits in along the way, you know, shortcuts, you know, or backstreets to try and miss a bit of traffic here or there? Earlier this year, two German tourists were driving in Queensland, the far northern part of Queensland, like quite remote Australia. And they put their destination to Google Maps, off they go. And at one point, Google Maps took them off what seemed to be the main road onto a dirt track. And I thought, well, this is a bit strange, but we don't know this area, so let's just go with Google. They surely will know, right? And at first it was okay, but about 60 kilometres down the dirt track, they end up getting bogged. And nobody else seems to be coming up this dirt track either. So eventually they have to hike back the 60 kilometres they came before they found someone to help them. And apparently, it's not unusual for Google to get it wrong. In a remote part of Western Australia, this keeps happening, so the council have put up this sign telling you your GPS isn't telling you the truth. Don't listen to it. This happens in inland Queensland too. A farmer had to put up his own sign, don't trust Google, trust me, because people kept driving into his farmland. Of course, technology is getting better all the time, right? So this kind of thing won't happen anymore. Or so you'd think. The next thing on the horizon is artificial intelligence, right? AI. A really powerful tool, but again, can you trust it all the time? There are some reasons to not be quite so sure. So companies who are making AI programs, they test this all the time, and they find that sometimes AI will lie to us. And not accidentally either, but do it on purpose. So people who use ChatGPT actually find this out, that occasionally it will just tell you lies. Now, why am I talking about this, about knowing and about trusting? The church, we're doing a series called Meet Jesus. We're going through a part of the Bible called John. John's like a biography all about the life of Jesus, written by one of Jesus' closest friends and followers, whose name was, no prizes for guessing, his name was John. And throughout the book of John, we keep hearing Jesus say, "I am," and then he kind of goes on to tell us who he is and what he's like. We're meeting Jesus as we go through John. And today we come to a part where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's like he's asking us, do you want to know things? Do you want to know the truth? Because I can give that to you. And the question is, why would Jesus say that? And can we trust him? Those are really the two things I want to look at today. Why is Jesus saying this in the first place? And can we trust him? Right, so let's start at the first one of those. Why is Jesus saying this? Well, we just had Jeff read to us from John chapter 14. Just before this, in chapter 13, Jesus has said something that's big news. He's there with his disciples, his closest followers. They've eaten a meal together. And then Jesus has broken the news. He said to him, "Guys, I'm about to leave you. I'm heading away." So look at John 13, verse 33. He says, "My children, I'll only be with you a little longer. You'll look for me, and as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." Can you imagine being the disciple? Right? This is going to be big news for them. Sad news for them. They don't want Jesus to go. This guy has been their whole life for the last 3 years. And so in chapter 14, Jesus comforts them about his leaving. So look what it says in John 14, verse 1. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Don't be unsettled, guys. Don't be anxious. But instead, what does he say? He said, believe, trust me. Trust me like you trust God. Because there's a reason for all of this. So Jesus isn't just leaving because he's sick of them. He wants something different. He's not up for another challenge or a new adventure. He's going for a reason that has very much to do with the disciples he's talking to. So you see the reason in verse 2. Jesus goes on, he says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus says he's going to get a place that's ready for them. And when it's ready, he's going to come back and he'll take them to be where he is. It's like Jesus saying, "Yeah, I'm going, but this is not goodbye. This is not the end." And he talks about his Father's house. It's like God has this house with lots of rooms. It's a way of Jesus talking about the eternal place where he will live with his followers forever. When I moved out of home, I moved to this place. This is where Google Maps was helpful, right? Street View helped me find. This is the place I used to live at when I first moved out of home. It was a 4-bedroom house. But we realized after a little bit, it had lots of living spaces and we could easily kind of shut a door and one of the living spaces could become like another bedroom, which was great because then we found someone to move in and each of us had less rent to pay then. And so a year or so later, we wondered, oh, maybe we could do a similar thing again with the garage. You know, none of us have nice cars. We could just park our cars on the street or in the driveway. And then we could get someone to live in the garage and rent would be even cheaper again. But, you know, actually, the garage was pretty big. So if we kind of were thoughtful, creative about how we did, we could put like, you know, a sheet or a few sheets or something going down the middle of the garage and you could make it into 2 rooms and then rent would be super cheap and that'd be wonderful, right? Sadly, the real estate didn't let us do that. But actually, you can tell in Google Maps, that's what they've done since we've moved out. They've actually converted the garage into more rooms. So the 2 archways there behind the cars, that's where the garage was. But now they've transformed it into rooms. But we were thinking, let's just squeeze people in any way we can because that just makes rent cheaper. What Jesus is going to prepare is not like that at all, though. He's not looking for places to squeeze people into, right? There's no, you know, someone who has to just get kicked into the cupboard underneath the stairs. His Father's house has many rooms. But the size of the house and the amount of rooms, that's actually not the important thing here. It's less about how big the place is, less about what the place is like, and far more about who is there. So my wife is Pipsy down here. My wife Pip and I, we lived in Sydney for 4 years, which I think makes me very qualified to tell you that Sydney sucks as a place to live. It's always busy. There are no trees anywhere. It takes ages to get to the beach. It takes even longer to get to the bush. And don't even bother trying to get out of the city. It's just like a vortex that will pull you in further and further. There's always traffic. People are rude. You might be okay to fly in for a visit, but don't bother living there, friends. For 4 years, let's just say I'm glad we are not going back. But having said that, it wasn't all that bad, really. Because we made friends, we got to know people there. And that meant knowing people, because our friends were there, it was an okay place to be. Because who is there is often way more important than what's there. It's the same thing with heaven, with in God's eternal house, with all the rooms. That might be wonderful, but it's who that's there. That's really what counts. Have a look again at verse 3. Notice who's there. Jesus says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that you may be where I am." So the best thing about this eternal home, it isn't the many rooms that are there. You know, the best thing about heaven isn't going to be, you know, streets paved with gold or trees that you can go up and pluck bacon off, or, you know, instant teleportation, or whatever you imagine heaven might be like. No, that's not the best thing about it. The best thing is that Jesus is there and that we get to be with him. That's the highlight. So imagine being one of these disciples of Jesus. You've invested so much of your life. You've given up everything to follow him for the last 3 years. And he comes and he says, "I'm going to leave you guys now." How would you feel? Full of questions. You know, what's going on, Jesus? Why this now? Stick around, dude. Come on. You're probably full of worries. What are we going to do now? Have we just made the wrong choice before? And imagine, you know, years later, long after Jesus has gone, and these guys have kept going through life. And for these guys, life was hard. We know that for all of them, they suffered greatly because they were followers of Jesus. They didn't give up. But if I was one of them, I reckon this is one of the things that Jesus said I'd often be thinking about. Yes, it's hard, but I know Jesus hasn't forgotten me. He's gone, but he's gone to prepare a place for me, and he's going to take me there. He promised. Isn't that what brings us comfort too? I know that some of us now are going through some pretty big things in life. Tension in our families, serious health things, mental health, physical health things, relationships that have their issues. And look, the sad reality is, as we keep living in this life, this stuff just keeps coming at us. It doesn't stop. So what's our comfort in all of this? Well, yes, it is that these things won't follow us into eternity, right? There is a day when our Father in heaven will wipe away every tear from our eye. But there's something else, something just as good. It's that on that day, when Jesus comes to take us with him, we'll be with our Lord. You meet him face to face, to be with him. Isn't that the thing that you really long for as well? Here again, friends, is good news that Jesus tells us, his people, he's gone, he's not here with us. But he's gone for a reason. He's gone to prepare a place for us, a place in his Father's eternal home, so that we can be with him. We're not there yet. But at the right time, Jesus will come and he will take us to where he is so we can be with him forever. Friends, as you go through life's ups and particularly life's downs, Hang on to this truth. Be comforted by the words of our Lord. Jesus is saying these things because he's comforting his disciples. And then he goes on in verse 4 to speak more, and he says to the disciples, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." So Thomas, one of the disciples who's there, he speaks up and he says, "Hang on, Jesus, but we don't." Look at what Thomas says in verse 5. Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Thomas is saying, it's like you want us to go somewhere, but you haven't even given us the address. You know, what are we supposed to put into our Google Maps, Jesus? How do we know? So Jesus speaks again and he says, "I'm the way. I'm the way you get to God's eternal home." Look at verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Back in Jesus' day, most people believed in some kind of afterlife. And in fact, most Jewish people, so like Jesus and the disciples were Jewish people, most Jewish people thought that they knew the way to a good afterlife. To get into the Father's house, what they needed to do was to keep the law, obey the commandments, do what the Old Testament said to do. I reckon if you ask most people today that same question, what do you do? How do you make sure you get a good afterlife? I reckon you're going to get two responses. The first is, a lot of people would say, well, you've got to be a good person, you know. Don't kill anyone. Don't intentionally hurt people. You know, be a kind and generous person in life. That's what will keep you in good stead for afterlife. That's what one group of people would say, and the others would say, look, once you die, just that's it. There's nothing. So you don't need to worry about whether you're going to get to heaven or paradise or whatever's there, because there's nothing. It's just nothingness. Do you see here what Jesus is saying? It's not about the commandments or the law. It's not about being good. There is a life beyond death. And Jesus says, I'm the way there. I'm how you get there. Take a look at how one commentator puts this. He says, Jesus does not simply blaze a trail commanding others to take the way that he himself takes. No, rather, he is the way. Jesus is the way to God's eternal home, to the good life forever. Jesus is the way. But Jesus said more than that, didn't he? He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So Jesus is the way because he is the truth and the life. Let me explain that a little bit. Jesus is the truth. This is part of what our passage today says. Jesus is the truth. That doesn't just mean that Jesus speaks truth, although he very much does, but that Jesus is truth itself. Because Jesus fully reveals to us the God of truth. We know the God of truth. How? Because of Jesus. So the things that Jesus says and the things that Jesus does, these are the things that the God of truth gives him to say and gives him to do. So take a look at this little part earlier in John. It says this about Jesus. No one has ever seen God, this God of truth. We can't see him, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. How do you know the God of truth? Because Jesus shows him to. Jesus is the truth. And because he is the truth, he then is the true way to God. And Jesus is the life. Not just that he offers us life, although he does, he offers us eternal life, but Jesus is life itself. Life is in him. He's not like you and me, right? We're given life for a certain period of time and then we die. Jesus is not like, no, from eternity past into eternity future, Jesus has life in him. And so earlier in John, look at this, Jesus says this about himself. He says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. You see that Jesus is the life. And because he is the life, he is the way to eternal life with God. So look again at how one commentator puts this. He says, only because he is the truth and the life can Jesus be the way for others to come to God. Jesus says he's the way to God. In fact, our verse said a little bit more than that too, didn't it? Take a look at the rest of the verse. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm aware today that some people find this a passage they don't like very much. They'll say it's too exclusive. You know, we live in a multicultural society, and to say that Jesus is the only way to God, well, that's not very inclusive. What are we saying to all the people who think differently to us? It may even be offensive. But actually, if you think about it, the major religions, nearly all the major religions, they all make claims of exclusivity, things that are true and that they believe that no one else will believe. They all make claims that are exclusive. So you can't really make sense of what Hindus believe if you say that it just leads to the same thing as Islam. In the same way, you can't understand Islam if you just think it leads to the same things as Hinduism. See, nearly all the religions are exclusive in some way. So I want to suggest, politely, humbly, but perhaps rather than worrying about Jesus and what he says being too exclusive, perhaps a better thing to ask is Jesus right? Could he be right? Can you actually trust him in what he says? And we hear him saying, I'm the way, the truth, and life. I'm the only way to God. But can we trust him? Or is he a little bit like Google Maps? You know, good for some of the time. You might even like most of the stuff he says, but you can't fully trust him always. Well, I reckon there are lots of good reasons you can trust Jesus. And that's probably not a surprise. After all, I'm at the front talking in a church. So what did you expect, right? I reckon you can trust Jesus because what he says makes sense of the world. I reckon you can trust Jesus because there's so much historical evidence to suggest that he did the things the Bible says he did. And on we could go. But rather than listen to the reasons why, of what I think, perhaps it's actually better to listen to what Jesus said for himself. And so Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the only way to God. But check out what he says next in verse 7. In verse 7, he says, if you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. The reason Jesus tells us we can trust him is because if we know him, we also know the Father. If you spend a little bit of time around me, there will be some things that you can learn about my dad. For example, I have large thighs. My dad has large thighs also. I know that you've all been looking at my thighs, right? If not for braces, I would have crooked teeth, just like my dad has crooked teeth. I cringe sometimes when I hear myself talking to my kids and I say to them the same things that my dad used to say to me. I think, oh, gee, I can't be like that, right? But the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You can see parts of my dad when you look at me. But that is not what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying that he's kind of like God. But if you look at Jesus, you'll kind of see some things that are also true about God. No, Jesus is not saying that. No, look again at what Jesus says. He says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. See, Jesus here is talking about his identity, who he is at his core. And all through John, actually, if you go back and read it, you keep hearing Jesus say that he and his Father are one. Let me give you the most clearest example for this. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. It's not that Jesus is like his Father. No, Jesus is one with his Father. And this is where the Christian idea of the Trinity comes in. But by Trinity, we mean there is one God, and he exists as three persons, the Father, Son, and Spirit. So if we know Jesus, we know the Father. Yes, they're two persons, but they are part of the same God, the same Godhead. And look, yes, that takes a bit to get our heads around, doesn't it? But this is God we're talking about after all. If we know Jesus, the Son, then we know the Father too. And look at what Jesus says again here. He says, you do know the Father, and you have seen the Father because you know me and have seen me. Friends, this is why we can trust Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life because he is God himself. Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the way to God's eternal home because Jesus is God himself. Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying this to comfort his disciples, to assure them that they know the way to eternal life through him. And he says to them, you can trust me because I'm not some random religious guru coming to give you wisdom on life. No, I'm the Lord God himself among you. You can trust me. I wonder if you're here today and you're someone who's never really taken up Jesus on his offer, never really wanted to follow him yet. Maybe today's the day to do that, right? Secure your eternity by coming to Jesus. He is the way to eternal life in the Father's home. Perhaps if you'd like to do that, why not tell someone today? Maybe grab the friend who you came along with and tell them you'd love to do that. Or come and grab me later. We'd love to pray with you as you start a new life now following Jesus. But I want to reiterate, friends, the big thing we've been seeing here. Especially as we go through all sorts of different things in life and when life is uncomfortable for lots of different reasons. When we face the things that are hard and that burden our hearts, remember these comforting words from Jesus. He's not with us. We can't see him, but that's not because he doesn't care. He's going to prepare a place for us, a place in his Father's house where there's many rooms, space for anyone. And so at the right time, Jesus will come and he will take us to be with him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we can come to our Heavenly Father through him. And we can trust what he says. We can trust his guarantee because he is the Lord God speaking to us. Friends, we come today to meet Jesus, and this is what we see about him. That he is the one way and the only way to our God. Let me pray for us. Our Father, we hear these words today from Jesus, and it strikes a real chord with us where we're at. We live in a world, Father, where there are things that burden our hearts. And we need the comfort of these words. The comfort of our Lord Jesus, who tells us that he's gone to prepare a place for us and will take us to be with him. Teach us to trust him, Father. Thank you for this great truth that Jesus isn't just a random guy come to teach us some ideas that he has. But thank you, Father, that he is one with you. Thank you that like you are God, so is he. And so we pray that you grow our trust in him. And we pray that when we come across these difficult things in life, these words, that you'd remind us of these words through your Spirit who lives in us now. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that we can come to you and have assurance of our eternal security through Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you so much, Father, for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.